Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee. Got my Gemini cup since the moon is in Gemini today. Sit back and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above. Ooh, I see the sound is on again this morning. So funny thing, yesterday when I was checking out the video to make sure everything was running smoothly, it wasn't moving at all. And so there was no sound coming from the YouTube video. And then this morning, here I am live and there's sound coming out of the video. I just don't get what the setting is that I need to play with to make it work right. But you know, we're still in that Mercury retrograde shadow or retro shade as our friend Suzanne usually calls it. And so things are still a little wonky. And of course, in my own natal chart, Mercury is retrograde. So I'm always sometimes, you know, off a bit that way. So you kind of get used to it. And then you start to kind of laugh and chuckle at yourself when these things happen. Thank you to Kamala Bryant and to Angela Mather Keel for mentioning to me that my blog talk video from the other day or blog talk podcast had a part of a conversation I was having with my son on it. That was fun. So I have to edit that now. And, you know, part of me just wanted to be so embarrassed that something like that would happen to me. Mm-hmm. However, what is it, right? Mercury in the shadow of his post-retrograde. So there you have it. But thank you all for letting me know that that was happening so that I have an opportunity to go in and fix it. However, there's already been a couple hundred people that have heard it. So, oh gosh. Okay. Well, you know, moving on. Hopefully everybody is doing well this morning. I'm going to say good morning real quickly to everybody before we launch in. Hello, Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel. Good morning, J-Lo, Amy. Good morning, Kimberly. Good morning. And anybody else listening in the background there, good morning to you on this Thursday, July 16th, right? We are now halfway through the month of July. It's hard to believe how time flies and how so much can happen in one day. So you'll all remember yesterday that we were talking about this very beautiful, beautiful. Let's just say it's there and it's very obvious that there's this T-square going on in the chart. And I warned everybody, including myself, if I would listen, that the balancing point to this discordant and chaotic energy, this deep dive that we were into yesterday, was going to be through the sign of Libra. That was the empty end of this configuration. And, or this aspect pattern, you could call it, because it's, you know, that red triangle. And it's still activated a bit because the sun has only moved 1 degree off of where it would be yesterday. Pluto hasn't moved. Eris certainly hasn't moved. She's still staying where she's been. So we're still dealing with that. And so first thing this morning, what happens is I receive an email from someone and asking me to do something, to give up some of my time for someone else. And I was in the process of just, I really wanted to be upset about it. There's still a part of me that just is like, why do I have to be the one to give up my time? Why can't that person yield and give up some of their time? And then as I'm, you know, having this conversation in my head, that the old me, the part of me that's still very much in that survival fear-based energy was like, you know, why is it that I'm invisible enough? I'm expendable. That was the word that came to me, is that my time is expendable. And then I realized, okay, there is a wound. As soon as that pops up in your field, you know, you're dealing with a wound. And the balancing point to that wound, as in it's in Libra, would be to cooperate, to co-create. And part of the co-creative and cooperative and collaborative nature of Libra is that we give and we receive, we give and we receive. And really, it was only someone asking me to give up about 3 to 5 minutes of my time. That's not big in the grand scheme of things. So then I had to laugh at myself for being so upset initially, you know, that there was that problem. So I think in a way we're all sort of dealing with that. Now that I like to share the things that I'm experiencing with you. You may not experience it exactly the same way, but somehow, you know, there is a commonality, a theme that's running through that all of us can learn from, right? And part of that for me was about cooperation and collaboration, and being able to co-create sometimes means that you're giving up something or you're yielding something in order to play nice or to make things work smoothly for everyone. And that's exactly what it turns out it was. It wasn't a personal slight. It felt that way though. And that's the thing that we're dealing with in this day to day. We are dealing with some Mars issues, and those Mars issues are beginning to compile and to compound. And, you know, by the time we get to September, it's a drumbeat that's really loud. And a part of that Mars process, as we heard a couple of days ago, is about maturity, maturing, not just in the sense of growing old, but growing wiser. Right? Gaining wisdom and insight into who you are, what you're doing, why things trigger you, and then being responsible in how it shows up, how you show up in response to it. I mean, I could have been very reactive and just told the person, no, not willing, not able, not going to. I did not do that. In fact, I just haven't answered yet. But that's because I didn't have time to this morning. And it's a good thing, right? Because the old me might have just gone in and said, are you crazy? No, I'm not giving up that. That's my time. I paid for that time. And so we're learning, right? We're learning. We're moving through all of these things. Now today, for luck's sake, we have luck on our side. The Pleiadian Earth energy today shows us that we have the sign of planting on our side. That usually points us in the direction of luck and fortune. And then today as well, we have the moon in Gemini. The moon in Gemini is very communicative. And then on happenstance, I took a peek at the just now chart today for our human design. And I saw something interesting in that relates to the moon in Gemini. In fact, I'm sure it must have been the moon that created this. And I want to chat with everyone about that. And if we have time today, I want to get to our Rosie stories, Rosie Aronson's The Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook, right? Our 64 Faces of Awakening, and read the 62, which is our sun's gate at this point, and maybe even the 61. We shall see. Okay, heading back over real quick to say good morning to Jennifer Peachy and Tati. Good morning, Mimi. Good to see you. Asa, great to see you. Ursula, hello. And everybody saying hello to each other. Augustina, good morning to you. So it looks like the gang is all showing up here. I love it. All right, so let's start this morning with the moon in Gemini. So remember last night, if you're on the West Coast, we went into the void around, what was it, 8:20, 8:21, something like that, and until 10 something. So bridged over into the new day for those of you in the on the East Coast or further east from here, even into Europe. And that means today, as we woke up, we were with the moon in Gemini, changing up the energy from Taurus, and Taurus's emphasis in the earth energy, the practical, down to earth, pragmatic work, you know, boots on the ground energy, to the more mind oriented energy. Now that could be a problem or it could be a blessing, depending on how you look at this morning. So the moon in Gemini, let's take a look at what its rulership is, so we can get an idea of where our emotional energy is moving for the day. Gemini, in fact, rules motion. Right? Motion. So short trips, the grocery store, the errand kind of energy, but it also rules restlessness, where I used to know, I had a friend, in fact, I have a couple of friends that do this. It's so funny now that I think about it, that when they get anxious or restless, they get in the car and they drive. And I just can't even imagine doing that. Even though I'm a Gemini, getting in the car and driving for me is always a purpose-driven thing. Maybe sometime I should just get in the car and drive for the fun of it. I don't know, but there it is, right? Restlessness. Maybe we get in the car and we drive. Gemini also rules all transportation. So we have a sense of things in motion, which is why often when Mercury, the ruling planet of Gemini, turns retrograde, we see transportation snafus, right? Planes late, trains not running on time, or accidents that happen with transportation. So that is a very Mercury retrograde happening, and it's because Mercury is involved in ruling Gemini. And then, of course, learning. Remember, Sagittarius rules the greater halls of learning, so the colleges and universities, the education after your formal education from kindergarten to 12th grade or so, depending on how you work that in your different countries. So Gemini rules the learning process in those formative years, and where we find strands of curiosity that take us into places where we might want to explore more energy. We want to explore more of the topic, and that's what we end up, you know, doing in the world or demonstrating our wisdom in the world with. So following our curiosity, and that means maybe the internet's involved, print media is involved, books, all the things that we can get our hands on to look up information, and then also the things that we can access via the web. Communication, of course, also Gemini driven and ruled. So speaking, writing, listening is also a part of that. Listening, and I put in parentheses, effective listening, because many times we can hear, right? We can hear, but are you really listening? And I find myself doing this quite frequently where, you know, I'm just nodding off when someone's talking. I have found myself doing that, especially in these last few months where it's just been so chaotic that there's, you know, my mind is driving off in many different directions. So it is always a reminder to put my mind and focus right back to where I am supposed to be focusing in the moment so that I can listen, right? Listening, teaching, learning, all of that is involved with Gemini as well. Logic. So our way of knowing the world through the repetition of patterns, right? That is logic, being able to repeat a pattern and predict what its outcome will be based on what we've seen in the past. So Gemini is pretty adept at recognizing patterns and predicting where that pattern takes us. That is what logic is all about, especially in human design, we see that. So in that, there's also the awareness we have now of all of our options. And herein, I think, is where one of the more negative expressions of Gemini energy comes in, and that's indecision. That's also a Libra quality and somewhat an Aquarian quality, the air signs, because there's so many options, right? How do you decide on just one? It's like going to, remember the Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors ice cream store? How did you decide 31 flavors? Oh my gosh. Right? So that is a problem we may have today and for the next day or so as we're trying to make a decision. There may be a lot of options for us to consider. So my go-to would always be my human design type strategy and authority in order to make the best decisions. Maybe not about ice cream, but certainly if you're facing any big decisions, then it would be time for you to look at your type strategy and authority. Social skills also come under Gemini energy, the ability to communicate on a light level, to be able to hold stimulating conversation with tact, being diplomatic in some ways also is a Gemini trait, acceptance of where you are, of who you are, of everyone else around you and being accepting of them, quick thinking, being sociable, all of that Gemini energy. When we look at all of the signs, all 12 of them actually hold some form of connection to relationships. Well, the relationships in Gemini are about brothers and sisters, sort of the environment relationship. So the people around you, but not quite in your own home. Now, sometimes your brothers and sisters are in your own home. And certainly, so it could be in your own home and just outside of the home. So brothers, sisters, your roommates, or people that you went to school with. So kind of the beginnings of the network that extends out from, you know, your own household or your own relationship, say with your mother, father, or significant other. neighbors included in that. The third house tends to rule in the astrology chart the people that are surrounding you, i.e. your neighbors. Trouble spots with the moon in Gemini, of course, overthinking, getting too much in your mind, too much in your head, questioning everything, moving from one thought to another with lightning speed. And in that feeds into nervousness, restlessness, and it also feeds into anxiety, builds up toward anxiety, and also feeds into indecision. So we have a lot of the mind chatter, monkey mind, you've heard that saying before, that is often stimulated more so when the moon is in Gemini. So what's going on in that beautiful mind of yours today, right? And what you're thinking, I was listening to myself thinking this morning, and I always do this anyway, and I was focused on something that I didn't need to be focused on, right? If I'm focusing on something that I don't want, then I'm almost ensuring that that's what I'm going to get, right? Because my universal energy out there does not hear the difference between I don't want and I do want. It just knows there's this focus on this thought. So I had to quick change my thought, cancel the back thoughts that I was doing and go with new thoughts. And that is something that we also have access to that we want to be aware of the next few days while the moon is in Gemini. So in the body, the sign Gemini rules the hands, the wrists, the arms in general, the shoulders, the lungs, and the act of breathing. In breath, out breath, the nervous system, and hay fever. Yay, my favorite friend lately. This year, it's so funny, I'm surrounded out toward the south of me, south and west and south and east, where the primary winds come from, with farm fields. And often it's potatoes or corn that they've planted in the fields. And so it's not usually a problem for me. But this year, don't you know, they rotated crops and most of them are alfalfa. And every time they go and they cut the alfalfa, I go crazy nutsy cuckoo with my allergies. And even though I've been taking, you know, antihistamines for a couple of months now to try to keep it under control, last night I was just digging at my eyes and I said to Terry, did you happen to notice, did they cut the fields yesterday? And he said, oh yeah, they did. It was laying on the grass. And I went, oh God, there we go. Now, hay fever, right? So that is just one of the symptoms of Gemini going on in your chart. Okay, back to comments. Let's see, how's everybody doing? J-Lo says, I love going for a drive. Driving for the fun of it is such a good time. The only reason I would like that now is because my new car has sunroof, so I could take off the roof, or I mean, I can not take it off, but open it up, turn on the tunes, because now I have Sirius XM radio. No matter where I go, I have music, and ride for the fun of it. That might be kind of fun to do. But I'm also very conservative in some ways. And so the thought of just wasting fuel that way just kind of bugs me. Not for you guys, you do whatever you want to. But for me, it's like, why am I wasting the fuel just driving around? I could have gotten on my feet and walked around. And yeah, anyway, that's just me. Mimi says, liking this Gemini energy today as I have prep work for two events. Seems I'm getting the opportunity to organize my mind and my stuff. I will miss you tomorrow. Oh, Mimi, I'm so excited for you though. It sounds like something fun. And, you know, don't we all need something fun? Because the news is always such a drag. There's so many major things going on out there. It's, you know, sometimes good to just focus back on what's important and what's lovely in your own life, and focusing your energy there feels so much better than focusing on these bigger, wider problems that are going on. So go for it, Mimi. Amanda, a drive with music blasting, singing at the top of your voice. Oh yes. And J-Lo says, telling my kids you're hearing me, but are you listening all the time? that's so true. Yeah. And Jules DeLune, Mars in Libra, Venus in Gemini, and Moon in Pisces. Feels like I struggle with these issues nearly every day. That's a lot of, that's air. And what's your sun sign, Jules? Moon in Pisces, imaginative, psychic, So you're not only hearing people's voices that are speaking to you and your mind being activated, but your mind is also activated by imagination and creativity. So I can imagine it's a very busy place. So Jules, I bet you have to really work with meditation or doing something that can really quiet your mind. That would be helpful with you. Augustina says, I agree with the fuel waste issue. That's too funny. That's why would I think of that? I mean, I think about that when I brush my darn teeth, right? I won't leave the water running. And the reason I won't leave the water running is because it's a waste of water. And not that I've ever experienced a water shortage in my life. I did experience fuel shortages because when I was a very young driver, say about 16 years old, see, I would have been 16 in the late 70s, and we had some kind of fuel embargo, and we could only get fuel based on the last number of your license plate number, odd numbers on odd days of the week, and even numbers on even days of the week. So in my memory banks is this idea of, oh no, I need to make sure I have enough fuel because I can't get gas until the day after tomorrow or whatever like that. So that's kind of funny for that, but never had an issue with water, but I do the same thing. I will shut, when my husband is running the water to get the water hot, I'm always thinking, why can't we come up with something that will turn the water hot right away? Certainly it's in the water heater and hot. How come it takes so long to get the hot water to the cold, to the taps? That part always drives me crazy because you're wasting so much water waiting for it to get hot. Okay. Well, anyway, that's a whole nother story. See how your Gemini mind can take off and run, right? That's my Gemini mind taking off and running. Okay. Anyway, Cancer, Jules says, you're so Cancer sun. Ah, so maybe that's, you know, lots of water and lots of air whipping up through your system. Ursula, am 100% a Rocky Road ice cream lover at Baskin Robbins. What was my favorite? Pralines and cream, I think it was. That used to be my favorite one. Now my favorite anything is cake batter or birthday cake flavor. However, I don't partake much of those things anymore. Try not to anyway. Amy, I like Tillamook Rocky Road. Yum. I love going to Tillamook in Oregon where they make the cheese factory. When I was there just last month, it wasn't open because of COVID, and they had their to-go windows open so you could get ice cream at least. And it is you're right, the best ice cream ever. All right, let's stop chattering about that stuff. Mindless chatter. Let's go to the important stuff. Today's Pleiadian Earth energy is 12 planting. So 12, that should tell you something, right? We are buttoning up the week, the 13-day week. Tomorrow will come to an end. So today, the 12 brings us to understanding energy. And understanding energy is where we are able to really take a look at what has happened the previous 11 days in our spiral of consciousness and bring things to an understanding. See where there are these endings and beginnings, like what are we willing to let go of as we move into tomorrow, so that we can move on up to the next spiral. And if you'll remember, we started this week or this round of the spiral in one, exploring energy. And exploring energy was taking us into new places. It was prompting us to be more like the bendable reed than a stiff tree or a stiff rod, because the rod could break. So we wanted to be able to bend and flow and go with the energy while we were exploring. So moving into new territory, being willing to be a little bit courageous, brave, and try new things, look at new ideas, incorporate new ideas into your day-to-day life. So we come to the 12 today, where we are able to really begin to understand everything that's come before it in these 12 days. We also have a better understanding of death and transcendence at this time, as in not physical death, although that may also be a part of, you know, that may be happening in people's lives as well, but the passing of something out of your focus and something new coming in, and how that also is a new birth that's taking you to a new beginning. So we get this understanding that everything is interconnected, and that you know, these new beginnings are also endings, that endings are also new beginnings. So we get that better feel for all of the things that have come before and the rightness of where we are in this moment. So the 12 brings us all that and a need to prepare for what the next cycle will be, the next level, through acceptance of where we are now, what we've learned, how far we've come, and what yet is left to be explored and entertained over the next spiral of consciousness. So you could also say that this is a day for self-renewal, really just bringing it all in, just, you know, allowing the filters to open up and taking in all of the different things that the previous 11 days have brought to us. Now, planting energy is the earth energy of the day. The 12 is the universal energy. So all life forms are sort of resonant with that particular energy wave or that impulse energy for the day. On earth specifically, we are all engaged in planting energy today. And planting energy is a very positive day. It is a very lucky day, as it is represented in the Mayan calendar by Khan, which is the seed of corn, right, which was the substance that was the basis of their society. It represented fertility. A good crop of corn ensured the survival of the society. So it began to resonate with that energy of luck and positivity. But it is also a day with the seed of planting new ideas, being inspired to connect with something new. There's a very Gemini feel to this, isn't there? That feeling of being able to go with the flow and, you know, following curiosity strands into new ideas, sharing then those ideas with people around you, sharing your inspiration or your ahas with the people in the world, because that's how these things spread, right? If all of us only resonated to love every day, that would soon spread all the way out to embrace the whole of the world. And I can't even imagine what changes would happen on the planet if we were able to do that. Unfortunately, you know, we're still in the karmic part of our existence on this planet. So we're still, you know, working with a lot of other energies besides love. So, but just imagine, right? Sharing of ideas, an idea of, hey, why can't we all get along? Let's do this. Let's cooperate. Let's do something that's balancing and brings things into equilibrium. Let's do things that are harmonious and beautiful and accepting of one another. Yay, right? Then that idea spreads and we just keep sharing. And everything begins with a thought or an intention. The seed is planted. And that's an important thing to remember. What are you planting? And those seeds are being planted by your thoughts initially and your intentions initially. And they gain speed or power when you add your emotional energy to it. Right? So the emotion, what are you feeling about what it is you're thinking? And that lends more energy and speed and power to the thought. So then it becomes a manifestation. Thank God we don't manifest in the moment, right? I mean, I would really love to say, genie, give me this. But I would also hate it if somebody burst into flame because I, you know, threw daggers at them with my mind. So that's a funny thought. But thank God we have a little bit of time in between our intentions and their manifestation. But that gives us that time then to breathe, being responsible, and using our thoughts appropriately. So that thought comes up today for all of us, or that possibility, that intention, and what are we focusing our mind on? Where are our thoughts focused? Okay, so it's a great day, I think, really, astrologically, to have the moon in Gemini, to have 12 planting, to be able to understand new things and see things with new insight, to really listen to what's happening in the world, to you personally, in your family, in your work world. What is your intuition? All of those things highly energetic today. Thank you, Ursula. I love it how you guys take turns doing this. So Ursula says, hit the like button. Thank you very much. Please do that. Hit the like button if you're liking the video. Please subscribe if you have not done so already. And if you want to get notifications every day, you can. There's the little bell and you can click for notifications. I'm also going to ask for people who are starting to really do this, but to comment below the video on the actual YouTube channel. And I'm lately, every day, I'm posting sort of a question, and the question of the day, I haven't decided yet what that might be today. Maybe it'll be something like, what inspires you, or something like that. We'll see. And then answer that question. So that also helps the channel gain some traction. And it's just another way for us all to interact and share. Okay. So, Amy, yes, that's what everyone needs to do. Watch me. Spread the love and wisdom. I love it. Thank you. You know, I think sometimes, you know, part of me, 12th house sun really wants to hide, right? It does not necessarily want to be seen by millions, heard by millions, but there's a Leo North node that I carry that insists on you being seen and heard and being out there. So that is one of my constant battles within myself, is the tug between invisibility and visibility. And it's funny because you guys are so instrumental in helping me get visible. And I find myself sometimes wanting to go invisible, especially if something, you know, someone makes a snarky comment. And I guess that's just part of the dance, right? That you're going to hear both the positive comments and you're going to hear the negative comments, and being okay with both, right? Because no one is wrong. It's just their opinion or their way of looking at things. So I love that I am accepted in this group in the sharing of my own human foibles and my own issues that come up, because I think there's something very comforting in knowing that the people that you're watching on a daily basis are also going through the same things you are. You're not out there alone and experiencing these things, that we're all sort of in it together. We're all on Starship Earth, and we're all dispelling karma, creating karma, learning lessons, helping teach other people. So that's something that everybody is doing. So I love that that aspect of our being able to share this kind in this kind of way, something that, you know, maybe 20 years ago we couldn't do, and yet now is so very available to us. So in a moment, right, we can shift our energy because we see people out in the world that have done that for themselves. And it opens it up for everybody to be able to do that. All right. So astrologically, that is it for the day. But I am going to read us some stories this morning, because the 62 is where the sun is sitting. And that is our gate of precision, or the details. And let me see where our card is for that. She's 61. This is the card for 62. And love those eyes, right? The eyes are so wise. Precision, which is the gate 62. Let me back this up again. Look at her forehead. We have some sort of tree. We have the lotus flower. What is on her nose bridge? That looks like a tetrahedron, something like that. And so let's read our story for the gate 62. And this is by Rosie Aronson, right? Rosie Aronson, the Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook. It is part of the 64 Faces of Awakening deck of cards, right? So these are oracle cards and wisdom cards, and they're absolutely wonderful. All right, so here we go. The saying up at the top says, intelligence is of the heart, whereas intellect is of the mind. Because the shadow energy of this gate is intellect, the gift is precision, and the siddhi is impeccability. And it says, I was a vibrant child, always doing cartwheels and dancing with the wind. But in school, I was taught to sit, learn the facts, and prove my intellect by doing well on tests and writing convincing essays. I was smart, so my brain quickly filled up with facts. The people around me expected me to become something important, so I fulfilled their expectations. I went through med school, where I learned about the human body and just about every symptom, illness, medication. Before long, I was working long hours in a busy, prestigious hospital. When with patients, I looked for problems, took meticulous notes, and ran their symptoms through my perfectly internalized lists of pathologies. I rarely sat down to look in their eyes, hear their stories, or acknowledge their wisdom. I talked pedantically to patients who mentioned alternative healing modalities or the power of prayer. My behaviors were obsessive, and I was constantly avoiding my patients' pain as well as my own. It wasn't until an unusual patient entered my life that everything changed. Despite her own illness and suffering, she managed to see right past the stress I felt and straight into the loneliness. In the middle of an appointment, she asked me how I was doing. Was I happy? Was there anything she could do for me? For some reason, I opened up to her, 33 and 13 in your human design, I opened up to her and shared about my life, the constant migraines, the feeling like I was drowning in a sea of details and responsibilities. At the end of our talk, she held my hands and calmly suggested I go to a yoga class. There was a teacher she wanted me to experience. For some reason, I listened. I'll never forget how awkward I felt at the beginning of that class, or how my body, mind, and mind melted like butter with each pose as I stretched, breathed, and relaxed. The teacher moved with such ease, grace, and impeccability. Instead of speaking, she gently placed her hand on the small of my back, and tears began to flow. How I'd missed that cartwheeling girl who knew nothing about the human body other than how to be in and enjoy it. Now I integrate yoga, movement, and meditation into everything I do. Even in the busiest places, my mind remains delightfully still. I listen more than speak with patients and am astounded by how much their own bodies know what they need. My heart and body are at peace. My gift to you. I want you to know the difference between the intellect and true intelligence. The intellect is your mind's ability to think, gather facts, and manipulate knowledge through language. It is wonderful, but limited. The more intellectual you are, the less true intelligence you use. The next time you look around you, look with your whole heart. Take in the essence of our mysterious world deep into your soul, and you will begin to taste true intelligence. From this place, you will care less about potential humiliation and more about speaking, writing, and inventing with love. In the language of simplicity, you will become an embodiment of precision and transform the world. Yes, here are the questions for contemplation. Do you feel stuck in life's details with no creative outlet? Is it hard to switch off your mind? Is it always going? Does your mind often pick apart the flaws in people's thinking? Go on a heart walk instead of looking out at the world and noticing the facts. See if you can impeccably feel the spirit. Listening to the trees, feel into the people. Notice how this experience impacts the way you feel and communicate. Be open to surprise as you reconnect with your true intelligence. I think this was an appropriate read today on the day that the moon happens to be in Gemini, driving our mind, our communication, our learning, our intellect, or relative intelligence. How extraordinary. Okay, time-wise, we're doing good. So I'm going to also read the 61 before we get into a new week. So the gate 61 is where the earth is sitting. And the gate 61's gift is inspiration. We've read this one before. You'll recognize the story, I'm sure, because Jupiter is sitting there as well as Pluto. Saturn will be there again soon. Pallas Athena is there. And we have inspiration, but in the lowest expression, it is psychosis. In the highest expression, sanctity. So I always think it's a good, she's also got a lotus on her forehead, if you look closely. Wisdom. Okay. So gate 61 says, creativity is the single most important gift for drawing humanity out of its mass psychosis. Mimi, you're miles ahead of us here. I was born asking why. Why were boys more valuable than girls? Why was there war? Was God a loving God? I pondered these questions during a time in my country when they were forbidden. Though I learned to keep quiet, my fascination with religion continued throughout my young adulthood. Against the will of my religiously disenchanted parents and the fanatically atheist party ruling the country, I collected every bit of information I could from my older relatives about Confucianism, Taoism, Taoism, and Buddhism. When the new constitution passed and normal religious activities were allowed, I immediately explored Islam and Christianity. When I moved to the West, finally free to explore anything I liked, I became consumed with the study of religions, especially those that had been forbidden to me. The more I learned, the more complex the picture became. I had to know, where did these religions, myths, and archetypes originate in the first place? Why were there so many unexplained parallels between the world religions going back thousands of years? Where and from whom did the impossible sacred monuments and temples truly come from? I turned to archaeology and was catapulted down a wormhole that challenged everything I knew about reality. My journey took me from the Bible to Egypt to Samaria to Lemuria to Atlantis and farther. Sounds like an adventure, doesn't it? I uncovered so many holes in scientific thought that I had to consider the strangest possibilities, from ancient astronauts to stargates to rainbow bodies, time travel, multidimensionality, orbs, giants, and fairies. I became obsessed with supernovas, reincarnation, the paranormal, UFOs, crop circles, and near-death experiences. Every new answer birthed a new question. People either thought I was crazy for believing certain things or for not embracing their beliefs. The pressure to understand the nature of reality became unbearable. When I finally stopped trying to get rid of the pressure and instead stepped right into it, my intellect shattered. Even I believed I was crazy, but soon I realized that most people on the planet were basically psychotic. None of us saw reality as it actually was. In that moment, I stopped asking why and was graced with true inspiration. The most spectacular art began to flow through me. I no longer needed to understand reality, only to experience it directly. My gift to you. I came to say that you cannot force or predict inspiration. The muse appears on her own terms, in her own timing. She enters your life as a pressure, beckoning you into the unknown, calling you inwards and back to your origins. She is not always about fun and games. Sometimes she comes to dismantle your way of thinking and to shake up your entire grasp of reality and your ability to love. To welcome her into your life, you must practice immense patience and trust. Be willing to receive your inner secrets, truths, and mysteries that are all around you. Even when you can't feel her, know that she is working behind the scenes. Don't look for spirit outside of yourself. Be spirit. Questions for contemplation. Might your certainty about a philosophy, system, or path be hiding a deeper fear of the unknown? Is it hard to relax when you can't find the answer to a big why? Try spending a period of time without working hard to understand. Have you given up on discovering who you truly are and where you came from? Are you afraid of digging too deep? Pick an unusual inquiry for yourself and go digging. Have you ever experienced a breakdown, physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, that became an inspiring breakthrough? Wow. Yes. Wow, wow, wow. Great stories, right? I have to share another thing with you guys. Last night, remember yesterday I had said that Jupiter was going to be beautiful. We were going to be able to see Saturn, and if in a dark enough place, maybe even be able with the naked eye to see Pluto. And last night, about 10:15 my time, I went outside because it's still really sort of light at 10:15, light enough that I could see Jupiter brightly. I could just barely see Saturn. And I could not find Pluto for the life of me. And that likely was just because it was not dark enough. And so I went to get my phone so I could look at my star map 3D. And I was shocked and amazed at what I was really looking at with Jupiter. So I was magnifying. So I'm making my screen, you know, magnify. And that way I could really see, you know, what it was looking at. But the more you magnify that, I don't know if you've ever noticed, the more shaky it becomes. So I'm sitting my phone on my husband's shoulder so I could really steady it so I could see what was going on. Unbelievably, Jupiter, what we see with the naked eye, wasn't just Jupiter. I mean, Jupiter is beautiful and bright, definitely. But surrounding Jupiter are all of its moons. And I couldn't even distinguish what all the different moons were, but the more magnified it got, the more that I could see that Jupiter And when you pull it back, you know, and you see that the light of Jupiter is made up not only of Jupiter, but all of the moons. And I never did find Pluto in all of that, probably because I couldn't study it enough to read the words underneath it. It was fabulous. So I so recommend you get, what is that app called? The Star 3D. I always forget the dang name. Star Map 3D Plus. If you have an iPhone, and I believe it's there for Androids as well, so that you can take it. All you do is point your camera at what you want to see. So the camera point here at whatever star you're looking at, and you can discover much about what is in the night sky. So even though I couldn't necessarily find Pluto, I knew because I could see Saturn and I could see Jupiter that Pluto was right there, right on top basically of Jupiter. So it was kind of fun. And always, you know, checking out the night sky. All right. And lastly, today, I want to share with you the human design chart of the day. So let me open that up first before I go to share my screen, because there's something important about voice today that I want everybody to understand. Downloads. Is that where I put it? There you are. And let me share my screen. So those of you who are listening to me in podcast format, you won't be able to see this, but you can definitely go to Living Astrology on YouTube and just fast forward even through the video toward the end of this video, and you'll find this chart. This is the chart of the energy of the day, the moment that I drew up the chart. And it's interesting because the first thing that jumped out at me, as soon as I knew the moon was in Gemini, I assumed the moon was going to be sitting somewhere around the gate 20, which is a Gemini gate in human design. And then I realized that was going to connect us to the gate 10. So this particular channel is called the channel of inspiration. Sometimes we call it the Buddha channel because it's very contemplative. It's also very empowering and very wise. There's a lot of wisdom that comes through this particular connection in these two gates. So the gate 10 being occupied right now by the south node. So and this is the love of self, and connected now to the gate 20, which is the moon that's sitting there. And this is the gate of basically charm, speaking of empowering in empowering terms, etc. But the caveat here is that that's the positive expression of this particular connection. The more negative expression is using words as weapons, right? The verbal slicing and dicing, or what does Karen call it? Verbal gunslinging. So we want to be careful today that we are using our words for empowerment and for toward yourself as well as toward others, right? Because we are really good, I think, sometimes. I would say that I would be more attentive to how I would speak to someone else than about how it is that I would speak to myself. So if someone else made a mistake, and I would say, you know, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. It's okay. We all make mistakes. But when I do it, OMG, it's like the world came crashing down and I'm beating myself up. And I would say probably a lot of you out there are like that. So it's a two-way street here, both because we have the empowering on one end or the disempowering on the other, but also because this can be pointed in the direction outward toward people around you, but also inward at how it is that you're addressing yourself. And because this gate is the gate of self-love, it would seem to suggest that we need to be very compassionate, loving, and giving to ourselves as we would be compassionate, loving, and giving to others. And that is something I think we can all take note of, right? Take a lesson of here for the day today. Looking, I don't see any other big changes here. We've talked about most of this stuff already. Neptune still sitting at our gate of involution, helping us to change up some things that are going on within us, evolving on the inside. And where the gate 55 down here, not being addressed at the moment, but a gate of evolution and where we are headed. Something huge going on here as we move into 2027. Okay, that's it for that. questions, comments. I'm going to go back over here to YouTube. Your kids tell you you're crazy, but they love me. Yeah, that's kind of how my kids are. They're like, yeah, mom, whatever. But then when they need something, life is throwing them a curve, then they want a reading, right? Or they want me to look at their astrology. So I'm always there to support them in all of that. Has anyone been able to see the comet? I have not. I just keep seeing photos of it. And partially that's because where it's visible and when it's visible for me here in the Northwest is at very, very early in the morning and like 3-ish in the morning. And in order to do that, I would actually have to get up and move and leave because I'm surrounded by trees and I would have to get up, you know, where I could see the horizon better. So I look at pictures, but I love that whole idea of a comet. And hopefully some morning I'll have cause to get up accidentally and just see it and be like, wow. But it's at its brightest on the 22nd. So that will be next week, next Thursday or next Wednesday, I guess. And Destiny, Janet, you are repeating the conversations I've had with other people in the last 24 hours. There are no coincidences. Don't you love it? I love it, right? It's just validation. And it feels very comforting to hear that from you, Destiny, but as well then for you to be comforted by knowing that there is another voice out there saying the same things. And I would bet that works for everybody, by the way. So there are these themes that are there for us. And you can see them sometimes very blatantly in your life, and other times they're a little more subtle, and we don't necessarily see it until later. Luminous Orchards, hello there. And she says, or he, I'm not, looks like she, says, so relatable. I'm not sure what you're talking about, but everything we have here, maybe you're relating to other people and to the words that we're talking about this morning. And Joanne Hutt, hello there. Storytelling project for Gemini Moon. I love that, storytelling. What story are you telling of yourself, of your life, of where you're going, of who you are, who you can be? Exactly. She's Gemini ascendant and Venus. Perfect for her. Thank you so much. It speaks to my soul. I love it. I love it. I love it. Jules. Yes. So grateful for that Leo North node. I absolutely treasure these lives. Thank you so much. You are welcome. And thank you so much for saying that. That Leo North node is such a driver, isn't it? And I just realized too, yesterday, I think it was, that the North node, the transiting North node, is at 28 Gemini, which is where my sun sets. Huh, I wonder what, I'll have to think about what that might mean. Janet, I also found the connection from April to now, not too good. I was sick now. My granddaughter and daughter are getting sick, weird, but not weird. Yeah, remember, so for those of you who maybe didn't hear yesterday, we were talking about the things that are common between the energy of April, the energy of July, and what's coming as a new moon in January 2021, all surrounding that 23 degrees, 24 degrees Capricorn part of your chart, but in everybody's chart, not just, you know, J-Lo's or mine, everybody has 23 degrees Capricorn there. And what kinds of things were being triggered for you at that time? You know, it was interesting to me yesterday. I had to, in Washington, I don't know if all states have this, but because I'm a registered business, I have to file B&O taxes every quarter. And often that is a source for me to use to beat myself up because I look at the numbers and I go, oh, wow, you're going down, or, oh, wow, you're staying the same, or, oh, wow, you know, we're, you know, your business isn't growing. So what the hell are you doing? So usually that's my conversation around those numbers that I'm having. I need to take my own advice and watch what I'm saying to myself. So I was looking at the numbers yesterday, and I usually try to wait. I usually do it right away, actually, because I want it done. But I was waiting because I didn't really want to look at what the second quarter was. And surprisingly, the second quarter, I took about, a 50% hit lower this year than last year. But I was really amazed at how much there really was there based on, you know, what I might have expected in the time of COVID-19, right? Somebody should write a book, The Time of COVID, Love in the Time of COVID, Business in the Time of COVID. That would make a great series of books because it wasn't as bad as I had anticipated. And yet it didn't trigger the usual in me, which was to, you know, I did compare it to last year. I shouldn't have done that maybe, but I did compare it to last year and it was significant. But I was also okay with it because it's not just me. This is something affecting everybody that's in business. So sometimes, you know, using your intellect and your intelligence then can make those things become weapons, right? Weapons of mass destruction of your ego, of your own self-worth and your own, you know, value. And that is the big lesson that we have right here today. And maybe even for the next couple of days is our ability to look at the patterns that have developed over these three periods of time, what's destructing, what's rebuilding, what's, you know, regenerating, and then use the power of words and storytelling to plant the seeds, another, you know, interesting concept today, of where you want to be, of where you want to go, of who you want to show up in the world as, and live that story, right? Live that story, not those old tales that we tell ourselves of not being good enough for whatever it is that we tell, right? So, and it's in our power to do that. It's definitely in our power to do that. Yep. Thank you. I know that on a level that I can't explain, I know what it is that my worth is to the world at this moment. But on another level, I also know that it's very more focused. This is in human design. You can look and see what angle cross you are born on. I was born on a left angle cross. Some of you are born on right angle crosses. Some of you are born at the juxtaposition cross. Where you would look at that is at the bottom part of your human design chart where it shows you what type you are, what your strategy is, what your authority is. It'll tell you just under your profile what your incarnation cross is. And I was born on a left angle cross, which means that maybe a more finite number of people that I am meant to interact with in this lifetime, almost like karmic contracts had been written that we would meet at this time in this place in this way for me to teach you something, for me to learn from you all as well, for us to be in this interaction. And I can't always, it's very much a karmic connection. Now that doesn't necessarily mean bad. It's just that we have these agreements that we would come together here at this time. And as opposed to people born on the right angle cross, who maybe are more seen in the world because their cross doesn't necessarily have, they're making karma and the left angle crosses are dispensing karma. So, and that is not to say that they're out there doing bad things. That's not it at all. Because, you know, we've got to change the way that we look at karma because it's not about, it's about balancing, right? It's about agreements in how we bring things back into harmony and balance. And that can be the difference too. So if you look and you have a left angle cross, you have specific people, karmic relationships in your life. And the right angle crosses are a little bit, casting a bit of a wider net and creating karma in their lives. And the juxtaposition sits right in the middle. There's very few of you out there that are in that juxtaposition. You're kind of holding it a fixed sort of lifetime. So you're kind of staying the course. You're sitting with whatever it is. Maybe you learned a lot in your previous lifetimes. So this lifetime, you're just kind of holding space and not necessarily going to learn a whole lot, or maybe you're demonstrating your just sort of integrating everything that you've learned. So anyway, J-Lo, the right angle cross of the unexpected, right angle personal destiny is mine. Mimi, right angle here. I like that. Making karma, only the good stuff, of course. And Amy, I'm glad we decided to meet up in this lifetime. And Joy Ann, neutralizing. The juxtaposition is what I think you're asking about. And I don't know about that word. I guess that could apply. It would be someone who has a profile 4-1. And they're sort of rarish. There's not a lot of that, but that they're kind of at a parked place. right? Maybe they're, you know, you're parked in the car and you're up on a hillside and you're overlooking the kingdom kind of thing. And contemplating and coming to a place of steadiness, of solidness, and in preparation perhaps for another lifetime of moving, you know, in a different direction. So, or, you know, who knows? I can't say for certain, you know, what each person is doing, but certainly that gives us a clue. So I do know that when I look at my own human design chart, that the people that I meet, there's a dynamic going on there. It's like our time, our place to meet, and for whatever purpose that we agreed to come together, whether it was for learning or for other, you know, things that we might do together, that's what it's all about. So, alrighty, thanks for all the comments. I love that. Keep going. You know, tell people to share, thumbs up, all of that. And Joy Ann says, ah, the Two of Wands. Ooh, I don't know what that means. Two of Wands. Tarot, right? Two of Wands in the tarot. Jules, left angle here too. Do you think that relates to the feeling of uncertainty? I don't know. Uncertainty, I might ask if you have an open ajna. The second center down in your human design, if that's open, that adds to the uncertainty, because you're here to have an open mind and not be certain about anything. And the moment you think you have certainty is when you are tapped into somebody else's energy, or maybe because, like, we have transiting planets right now that are sitting between the head center and the ajna, which turns on the ajna for everybody. So uncertainty, yeah. I would say that's more the ajna, not necessarily the angle, but it also depends. Like, you're a left angle cross, but of what, right? I'm the left angle cross of education. So it's very clear I'm here to teach. Some people are born on the left angles of, you know, other types of energies based on the sun and the earth in your human design. And that can change the way that the left angle is being portrayed in your life. So for me, the karmic connection, if you will, from the left angle cross of education is in this teaching that I do, or in the speaking and the writing and the sharing of ideas and information. So that's how my left angle cross shows up. Your left angle cross may show up in a different way based on where the sun and earth were in your chart. It's really fascinating when you start to really sit with human design and you take it into the gene keys and you look further. A lot of patterns begin to emerge that you will notice very clearly between your life as you've known it. I had an experience yesterday doing a reading with someone who says to me, I'm so glad you said that, because that is how I always wanted to be. But my mother said I had to be this other way. And we all know, if we go back even to our childhoods, what was right for us then, that somehow through education, through, you know, our enculturalization, through conditioning, we imprinted in a different direction than what we were really meant to go. And I think that happens to all of us on some level. So now we get this opportunity to become aware of that and then begin to move back in the right direction. Right, the direction that we were meant to be in. And we almost perfectly knew that when we were children, in our first 7 years in particular, before the world really started imprinting us, conditioning us to be something that we're not, right? So our journey, if you will, in human design is about coming back to who we know we are, to our true selves, to our authentic selves. And in that process, you kind of can recapture the truth that you knew so well as a child, but were immature enough to not be able to understand how that would be changed and maybe even taken away from you as time passed, as a part of your learning here on the planet. So we're coming back home, I guess is how you could look at it. We're coming back home. Jules says, I believe it is cycles. There are a lot of cycles indeed. Joy Ann, so much great sharing. Thank you. Do you have a contribution button? Buy a coffee. I thought about that the other day. I don't know. I will think about that. Amy, thank you very much for all the work that you do and behind the scenes supporting me. I love that. And I appreciate every one of you. You all, you know, are adding to this community and this learning in ways that I don't think, you know, we don't even really recognize on a conscious level. Unconsciously, we're creating this bubble of love and of moving to the truth and of inspiration. And let's just keep the bubble growing up and out and embracing everything and everybody. All right, everybody, that is it for me. Tomorrow is Friday. No, it is tomorrow Friday. It is Friday. Oh my gosh, we'll be doing readings tomorrow. And I had a sense this morning of the Galactic Heritage cards for tomorrow. So for those of you who haven't had a reading recently, maybe it's time for a Galactic Heritage. All right, everybody, take care. Much love to you.